Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
I welcome you to our broadcast this morning, and if you wish to follow along, I will be reading several verses from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. That is Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And while you're turning, I will begin reading. If you're following along, you catch up with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, this is what we read. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in all of his life. And also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. And I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. That is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Here is my title for this morning, and here is my subject: God's absolute predestination. Are you used to hearing any preacher use that word much? God's absolute predestination. Now, God's word is absolutely clear in its declaration that God absolutely predestinated all that comes to pass. If it comes to pass, whatever it is, God was the determiner of it. This book clearly testifies to this truth. Again, I say, if it comes to pass, whatever it is, God was the determiner of it. Our passage is clear about that. God holds all things and all people under his sovereign determination. Men should do many things. Yes, we should. Men should do many things of great honor toward God, but men are wicked. That's me, and that's you by nature. But men are wicked, self-serving, self-willed rebels. That's what we are by nature. All things will be judged by God, especially men and women. But no one can judge God. You hear what I said? No one can judge God. Take God to court. See if you win. I dare you. No man can judge God. Men and women should fear him. So, stick with me here. Don't turn that dial off. Stick with me here. And if you have a desire, any kind of inkling to at least ponder God's absolute predestination of all things and all people and all events and all circumstances, then listen, as I just scratched the surface this morning, I don't have time enough to deal with it all. I don't have the capacity or the ability to deal with it all, but we will scratch the surface. Let's look at this verse by verse. Verse by verse. And I will not deal in a lot of detail with everything. As I said, I don't have the time. I don't have that ability. I have to confess that to you. But let's look at it verse by verse. Let's go through all 17 verses. I will read the verse, comment a little as I read the verse, and then make some closing statements about each of the verses. Here's verse 1. Here's what it says. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. How much is left out there? Nothing. Nothing is left out there. As a matter of fact, the writer of Ecclesiastes, that is Solomon, goes through and shows us that he leaves nothing out. Now listen, listen to me. Here's the verse. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And this word season means a fixed appointment. The word time means a duration or a terminus point. So in other words, to everything there is a fixed appointment. And there is a terminus. There is a how long it can last to every purpose under the heaven. Listen to me. Nothing that takes place in this universe, I mean absolutely nothing that takes place in this universe is extra. Nothing is meaningless. It is all God's doing. Let's look at verse 2. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Do you see it? This is included in this season and purpose and time. And it includes everything. It includes every purpose under the heaven. Listen to me. Life and death, it's in God's hands. Did you hear what I say? Someone says, well, preacher, I got you there. If God predestinated me for to die in a car wreck, then I'll just never get in a car again, and that way God's purpose will fail. You speak that way, you speak as a fool. Because I tell you this, you say that in your heart before God and to God, I'll never die in a car wreck, then you know what God might do to you? God might have you have a heart attack at work or wherever you are right now and you fall over and you're totally unconscious. Somebody calls an ambulance for you, puts you in that ambulance. That ambulance driver has a wreck and you're killed right there on the spot and you still died in an automobile wreck. You will not skirt God on this issue. Life and death are in God's hands. Humanity is in God's hands. Plants and animals are in God's hands. There is a season and a time. Whether it's a human life or a weed, it's all predestinated by God. Why? A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now verse 3, look at what it says. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Listen to me. Now, I know this is going to shock some folk, but you listen to me. When it comes to God Almighty, God is absolute in His predestination. Whether it is self-defense or murder, God Almighty's in sovereign control, and I don't back up from that one bit. God will judge men for their wicked deeds. Yes, He will, but God Almighty's in sovereign control. You had wicked men that took Jesus Christ and hung Him on a tree, beat Him half to death within an inch of His life, as we would say, before they hung Him on a tree. And yet God Almighty was in absolute sovereign control of all of it. Think of it. Go back and read the New Testament of what they did to Jesus Christ. And it's almost as if, though they were not, but it's almost as if they were opening the Old Testament and saying, all right, what are we supposed to do next? Now we're supposed to spit on Him. Why? Because it had already been predestinated by God. Come along. Well, now what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to buffet him and hit him with our fist. I'm telling you that God Almighty is absolutely sovereign over all things and has predestinated all things. If they come to pass, God Almighty declared for it to come to pass. Whether it's self-defense or mortar, whether it's a local assembly that rises up to the glory of God, and then God later just shuts that assembly down. It's all God's business. Look at verses 4 through 7. Time to weep and a time to laugh. We ought not laugh when we ought to weep. We ought not weep when we ought to laugh. But I'll tell you this, God's in control of all of it. God sovereignly predestinated all of it. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. In other words, God has ordered all these things to happen when they happen, and they last exactly as long as God Almighty decreed that they would happen, because he begins by saying, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, and he ends up by saying later on, God doeth it that men should fear before him. Yes, yes, it's even more than that. Look at verse 8. Well, stick with me now. Don't turn that dial off there. Listen to me. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. You say, preacher, you can't mean that. This ain't about me. This is about what God Almighty, through Solomon, moved him by his spirit to write down about God Almighty's absolute control of all things in God Almighty's universe. And God says a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Yes, even love and hate. Now, hear me now. God give you eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to stick with me and listen to me. Not all love is good. You hear what I just said? Not all love is good. John the Apostle makes that quite clear in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And let me just turn back there and read. I do not want to misquote that. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Before I read it, I know that in our day and age, it's love, love, love. And my late pastor Earl Cochran used to say it's L-U-V love. It's not L-O-V-E, agape love. Sadly today, people love God like they love chocolate ice cream. And that ain't the same thing. I'm telling you, not all love is good. Listen to what the book says. Listen to what God says. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You hear what God said? It says here, a time to love and a time to hate. And listen to me now. All hate is not evil. Now I fully realize that that will be misconstrued and people will accuse me of saying this and saying that. You go on and say what you will, but you listen to what I just said. I said not all love is good and not all hate is wrong. Listen to what the book of God says, God's holy inspired word says in Romans chapter 9, and we will specifically look at verse 13 and 14. As it is written, this is a New Testament writer quoting from the Old Testament, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's what God says. That's what he says. And look, what shall we say then? Is this wrong in God? You see it? Is there unrighteousness with God? And immediately Paul is moved to pin down, God forbid. You see, God hates all workers of iniquity. That's what the book of God says. This religious society in which we live has so prostituted and cheapened the love of God that it's no more than some man walking down the street at the red light district trying to get him an old whore for a few dollars. That's exactly what men have done with the love of God today, and that's exactly what they do with the hate of God. They say this hate must be evil. No, this hate is just and holy because God is just and holy. And the wonder ought never to be, how could God hate Esau? Poor Esau. Esau was a rebel against God. The glory is here is that God would say, I love Jacob. That's the glory we see in God. So again, I say, a time to love, a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Let's look at verse 9 through 12. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? It's basically a rhetorical question. What profit is there really? Huh? I have seen the travail which God hath given. Do you see it? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also hath set the world in their heart. This doesn't mean that God Almighty makes men evil. It means God lets men sometimes have what they want, what they really desire. Do you see it? He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, that is in men and women, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Think about it. Here's what verses 9 through 12 is saying. Here's what God is saying to us. God has shut men up to travail under his sovereign purpose. And this is the judgment of God against this world and against humanity because of our rebellion against him. We do not control not one thing in God's universe. We should do good. We should do good, but there is no good even in us. Do you see it? Notice he doesn't say, I know that they do no good. That's not what he says. He says, I know that there is no good in them. That's my problem, and that's your problem by nature. This is not just what we do, it's about what we are. Again, God has shut man up to travail under his sovereign purpose by his judgment against the sin of this world. We do not control not even one thing in this universe. We should do good, but there is no good in us. Verse 13, look at what it says. Verse 13, and also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Think about that. Do not men take what they earn, what they work for, and use it for some dastardly deeds, dastardly evils? Yes, they do. And they are under the judgment of God. But listen to what he actually says. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is this the gift of God. Let me put it to you this way. Verse 13, I'm going to summarize it this way. Everything this side of hell is a gift of God. Every breath you take on this side of what men call eternity is one less breath, and that's probably not the right way to say it, but it's one less breath you'll take in hell. It's the gift of God. Verse 14, look at what it says. I know that. Now maybe you don't believe it, and maybe you don't know it, but God's people do. God's people do. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. This is in the context of what? To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Go back and read them all again. Read them all again. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. And it's not. This is not just some fatalistic time. This is the wise, almighty, all-powerful, immutable, sovereign God. And this is what he says. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him, God has you in His sovereign hand. He controls you. Somebody says, well, you're making men to be a puppet. I would not insult a puppet by comparing a puppet to us or us to a puppet. We are rebels against God by nature. Everything, as I said, is this side of hell is a gift of God, but it goes on even more. Here is God's absolute predestinating sovereignty stated. It don't have to use the words, it's teaching the truth. I know that. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. God rules all. God rules all. You best fear Him. Verse 15. Look at what it goes on to say. This is what Solomon goes on to write. That which hath been is now. And that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Is that perplexing words to you? I understand that. I do. It used to perplex me until God Almighty opened my eyes, opened my ears, and gave me a heart to perceive the truth of who God is and who man is, at least to some degree. Here it is. Listen to me. Nothing surprises God. You get that? Nothing surprises, I mean absolutely nothing in this world, surprises God. From the greatest glory that men have enacted amongst men, not before God, but that men have enacted towards men and for men, and the most dastardly deeds that's ever happened on this earth, nothing in this world surprises God. All events in time have eternal determination with God alone. Do you hear what I said? With God alone as the decree maker and the sustainer. When men rebel against God in vehement hatred against God and their fellow men, God gives them the very breath with which they are alive and which they use their tongues to lie about God and to do their dastardly deeds. I'm telling you that nothing surprises God. Nothing sneaks up on God's blind side. He doesn't have a blind side. Verse 16. Moreover, I saw under the sun. Think about this now. Moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment. And here he's not talking about the place of condemnation. He's not talking about a man goes to court because he's been guilty of stealing an automobile. And then he's actually found guilty and then condemned to judge to go spend time in jail or something. No, that's not what it's talking about. This here judgment word has to do with making determinations, with coming up our opinion about how things are. Listen about it. Our opinion about how things are. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment where men make their determinations. That wickedness was there. Oh, but look, and the place of righteousness. You hear it? And the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. That's what verse 16 says. Do you see it? Everything on this earth, yes, even the stars and the moon in heaven, everything on this earth is under the curse of God. Man's contemplations about matters, man's judgment, the place of judgment, where man makes his determinations, what is it? Evil's there, shot full of wickedness and shot full of hell. But also this, and man's righteousness, man's best deeds. It's what? It's shot full of wickedness and iniquity. Look at verse 17. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. How can God predestinate and yet judge? Because He's God. Because He's God. Listen to Romans chapter 9 again. And this is what the Word of God says. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe God. Ain't even read it yet. Romans chapter 9. Listen to what God says about Himself through the Apostle Paul. Romans 9 verse 18. Therefore hath He, it's all about God, Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, why then doth God yet find fault for who has resisted his will? And that's exactly what some of you are probably saying out there right now. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault for who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Rhetorical question. No. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And let me tell you something. God's absolute predestination of all things does not mean God just sat up in heaven and said, all right, there's a good man, but I'm going to damn him to hell. And there's a decent woman, I'm going to damn her to hell. No, sir. We're fitted to destruction. We deserve what we get when it comes to the judgment of God because we're God-haters, because we've fallen in this world. Listen to what it says. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made thee thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same vessel to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath before prepared in the glory? Verse 24, Paul says this is true concerning Jews and Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles. You see, God Almighty created the universe and he created man. And God said about the universe, it's good. And when he created man on the sixth day, he said it's very good. But Adam rebelled against God. And Adam's our daddy. You know that? We all came from him. I don't care what the color of your skin is, what your station in life is, how good you think you are, or how bad you are. We're all the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. And our daddy Adam, when he was in that garden, rebelled against God. And let me tell you, and we are like our daddy Adam, and we like being like our daddy Adam. God has and will judge you and judge me, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 through 15. And he says this about some folks, they're going to be judged according to their works out of the books. Is that what you want? Then you go for it, buddy. I want to be one of those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's the distinction between all that God does when he sums it up. Some men and women will be judged according to their works, and they will be cast everlastingly into the lake of fire. Other men and women simply have their names written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I want to be one of them. What about you? I ask you to listen in. 12 noon on WVVACW, the same channel. 12 noon, you can hear a portion of one of our Sunday morning broadcasts, one of our Sunday morning messages.